The message, the title of the message this morning is A Prepared Place. A Prepared Place. I'd like to begin in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Begin reading with verse 8, and this is talking about Abraham. Says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Isn't that a good commentary? God gave some instruction and he obeyed. I'm reminded also when God told Abraham to take Isaac and go offer him as a sacrifice. I love the way that it's phrased. It says, and early in the morning, Abraham got and went up to, he started that journey. Lord, help us to get up early to be obedient. Well, it said Abraham, he went out, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know what the end result was going to be, but he obeyed the Lord. Says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for something more than just a temporary dwelling place. He was looking for a permanent dwelling place, and I believe that Abraham had a vision that God had something more in store than what he saw right in front of him. Going on down to verse 13, and it talks about those that died in the faith. Said, these died in the faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Do you know not everything's going to always happen just like you'd like it here on this earth? Let's not get too tied to the temporal things. You know, the things that we can build, the things that we can do, those things are going to pass away one of these days. And too many people, they're letting their heart get fixed on the things of this world. I'm looking forward to when we can get the chapel built. I mean, I know we all are, and I'll just, it's just, you know, it's kind of a wait now. It's like, Lord, it's we'll be glad when that's done. But you know, the reality is, if we never had four walls again that we called our chapel, we could still gain something better down the road, because that's really not where the importance is. We can second guess, you know, the colors and second guess the materials and second guess that. You know, you drive by and see something, thought, huh, I wonder if we should have. But you know, really at the end of the day, it's not what matters. It's not what matters. What matters is what's going on in here this morning. And so they said, we're pilgrims and strangers. You know, jobs can come and go. Money comes and goes. Does it really make that big of a difference? I know we might not be as comfortable sometimes, and there are inconveniences. Our health comes and goes. Sometimes we feel well, and other times you might have prolonged illnesses and prolonged pain. But do you know, we're looking for something better this morning. We're pilgrims and we're strangers, and we're just passing through. And then it said, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. I want to declare plainly this morning with those of old, I seek another country. I seek another country. I'm just a pilgrim here. I'm just a stranger. I'm not putting down permanent roots here. I don't want to let my time and my talents and my weaknesses and my all of the things that make me who I am in the time that I have, in my goals and my dreams and my plans, I don't want them to be earthbound. I want to keep in mind that there I am a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. I don't need to build a permanent structure where I'm going to camp for the weekend. You know, set up a tent. It'll make it through for 3 days and then you move on. We are pilgrims and strangers in this world. And he said, truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now listen to this next prepositional phrase. Told us why they were, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. The Lord has a prepared place for His people this morning. He has a prepared place. You know what it means to be prepared? Someone stopped by and said, I'd like to come over to your house. I'd like to come over to your house after our afternoon get together. Can I come to your house and, you know, we could just sit down and have a meal together? You say, I have been expecting you, Brother Michael. I prepared. You know, some of you would say, oh my, could we make it another day? And some might say, you know what, we'll do what we can't. Come on and we'll throw something together. Do you know, here's my point. God will run down to the Walmart market. Do you know that God did not throw something together for us? When you are prepared, you have planned. I have been ready for this time, and I've made a meal. I've been working in the kitchen, and my wife was working, and she baked, and she cooked, and she was prepared. I remember one time my mother, was prepared. We were going to have company. And 6 o'clock came and they didn't show up. 6:30 came and they didn't show up. 7 came and they didn't show up. And they never showed up. And she had worked and prepared. The table was set and the food was ready. But they didn't come. Do you know the Lord has a prepared place for a prepared people? I want to prepare my life that I can go and receive of the wonderful blessings that God has prepared for us. Sometimes we can start thinking about heaven. That's what I like to consider a little bit. We can think about heaven as just some mystical, spiritual thing that's kind of out there. But do you realize that heaven is a prepared place? It is a real place. It is not just the figment of an imagination. It said that God hath prepared for them a city. You realize that God has a place, and it's real, that He wants to bring us all to. What are we working for this morning? You know, right now we say, well, we're working. We want to get this chapel done. But, you know, that's temporary. I want to spend my time working that I can prepare my life, that when the end comes, I can experience that prepared city that God has made for us. The building and foundation is of God this morning. Well, there's another place that is better than anything we can imagine this morning. I'm sure we've all been to some beautiful places in our world. God created this world, didn't He? There's a lot of beautiful places, and it's like people have even used the expression, this is like heaven. Well, let me tell you what. Heaven so far is going to supersede the best of this earthly creation of God. God has something prepared for us and ready for us. I don't want to miss it. I want to go because we know what the other side of things are. There's also a hell. But it's up to us this morning. Are we going to go where God has what God has prepared for us? Well, it wasn't by accident. In other words, heaven is not by accident. Heaven is not something He just kind of threw together. Now, when God plans something, you better expect it's going to be wonderful. Because He put everything He had into it. And it's prepared. Now, this is what I want us to understand. Prepared is not just an isolated word here. In the book of Matthew, chapter 25 and verse 34, when God divided the sheep from the goats, all right? This is what He said. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, people, when did God make heaven? When did He make this wonderful place of abode for us to go if we have served Him? When did He do this? From the beginning. Do you realize that now, let's get another scripture in there. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I go, there ye may be also, the way ye know, and He went on. But He said, I go to prepare. Was Jesus getting ready to go up to heaven with hammer and nails and put together a city for us? That's not what he was talking about. Jesus was going to the cross. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven was prepared by God from the foundation of the world. He had a plan for mankind, and he had a means of our getting prepared to go there. So when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to the cross. And through my shed blood is going to open up an avenue that you can be a prepared people, that where I am up in heaven, you can come to. It's through the cross that we are restored with God. It's through the blood of Jesus that we've been reconciled to God and been forgiven of our sins. That's what Jesus was going to prepare. But the heaven, it was prepared from the foundation of the world. And as wonderful as the literal creation of this world, heaven is so much better. The colors, we say, I wonder if there'll be green valleys and streams. And I wonder, some people like the trees and some like this and that. Do you know that the Bible is limited in what it tells us heaven is, because it so far surpasses the things that we can see and understand with our five senses? So there's no words in our vocabulary that can describe the beauty and the wonder of that place that God prepared for us in heaven. I want to go. Well, all of us have had some battles and trials, haven't we? Now, I want to say, some people say, I know, I'm ready to go. Hey, I've said it, okay? If that's confession or acknowledgement, I am a pilgrim and stranger, and I will say like the Apostle John, I will say, I'm Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I say I'm ready for the Lord to come, and I am waiting, as the song says. I am waiting. I am longing for the summons to come. But I know sometimes you younger ones, it's like, wait a minute, hold on a minute. I've got life to live. I've got some things I want to do first. That's all right to have some things you want to do in this life. Just don't get too tied down. Don't get too tied down and recognize that there is a real place. Heaven is real. My words are inadequate to explain that as well. But it is a prepared place. It's like you can go and have your McDouble if you want to. And you can go have your dollar rice and bean bread. Oh, they're $2 now with inflation. You can go with $2 and get your burrito at Taco Bell. But I want to tell you something. There is something better that God has prepared. There is a table that is spread, that is bountiful of all kinds of things. Well, I want to go. So yes, we need to occupy till we go. The scripture says, occupy till I come. Don't fold your hand and say, Lord, I need an escape. Get me out of here. There is grace for us to have peace in this life, even with the trials and battles. And I'll just put it this way, that sometimes before you get to dessert time, you've got to eat your Brussels sprouts. So you eat your Brussels sprouts and your broccoli, and after you've eaten those things, there are some desserts. So the Lord's plan was not just to skip us over to heaven. We might have some suffering to do. But thank God, with Brussels sprouts or something called salt. And you can put salt and it'll help them go down. Do you realize that in the trials of this life, there is a grace of God that can enable them? And actually, Brussels sprouts aren't too bad with salt, aren't they? Now, some of you may like them. I remember when I first moved here, one of the children wasn't quite sure about this new preacher that said something about macaroni and cheese. You know, there's things better than that. But do you realize that God has something good for us, and until it's time to go to that prepared place, He's got salt, He's got grace, He's got power, He's got His Holy Spirit that can enable us to have peace even during the storms and battles of life. And I thank God for that. But I still don't want to lose sight that God has a prepared place. And so Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I have fought a good fight. I've been through some battles, been through some trials, but I fought a good fight. And he said, I finished my course. He said, I kept the faith. I was diligent. I was responsible. I did what God wanted me to do in this life. But he said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Oh, do you know what that crown was talking about? A prize. You know, the Lord has something awaiting. He has a reward waiting each and every one that will prepare their hearts and serve the Lord with all their heart this morning. If we will serve God, Lord, I love you, and in the battles and in the storms, I want to go through and say, I fought a good fight. Because when we finish our course, the Lord is going to say, well done. I've got a prepared place for you. And you won't have to, oh, we'll get into it here in a few minutes, but heaven is going to be so full of things that are so wonderful. We're going to have a glorified body to experience it. We couldn't stand it in this body. And so I want to dispel this notion, especially with the children, young people, that, I mean, after a nice, anointed, wonderful, anointed two-hour service, you still get tired, right? And it's like, is heaven just, are we just going to be singing all the time? I mean, it's not even broken up in days and says, it's time to go to bed. We'll start fresh in the morning. You say, you know, I can only handle so much of an anointed service at Monarch. You got a lot of people, and the glory comes down in the song service. And it doesn't all the time, does it? It doesn't all the time. But those special times when the Lord just opens up the window of heaven and gives us just a little glimpse. Some of you, when you're younger, may say, is that all we're doing? I mean, are we going to be sitting around and eating bonbons and polishing our halos? Do you realize that heaven is going to be, there's going to be living up in heaven. We're going to be living life, but it's going to be a new life. We're going to have new bodies. We're going to have things to do up there. We're not just going to be sitting up there and not able to move. And like you children, sit still, be quiet. We're in church now. Now, there's a place for that here. But when we get up to heaven, there's going to be quality of life. And God prepared this wonderful place that He wants to take us. And He did it from the foundation of the world. So who's going to go to this place? Prepared people. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the only way we're going to be able to get there. It's not by our righteousness, but it's through the blood of Jesus. Let's sing a verse of that song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
My hope is built on nothing less.
This is what prepares us to go to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus. I dare not trust. Holy lean on Jesus' name.
On Christ's solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking.
So how can we go to this prepared place? It's through the blood of Jesus. So we can get through and say, Lord, I just plead the blood of Jesus. And when we have the blood of Jesus applied and we have been transformed in this life, we can look forward with anticipation to the coming back of Jesus, because He's going to take us to a prepared place. He's got a place with your name on it if you'll go. You see, everybody's been invited, but not everybody's going to come. Everybody's been invited and everybody's welcome, but there are people that are turning their nose up or down. They're turning it away from the invitation. You get an invitation in the mail, I'll tell you, folks, you're going to have to RSVP to this one. I think the saints aren't very good about RSVPing. I want to tell you, this is one RSVP you've got to have. You've got to have this one RSVP, because you can't stand, come to the door of the wedding feast and say, I'm here, it's dinner time, and they'll say, I'm sorry, we don't have a place for you. We had this many people responded and RSVP'd. No one's getting in at the door that didn't RSVP. That's what's going to prepare us. Now, Lord, I choose you. I accept you in my life in this earth, that when it comes time, you will receive me up into that prepared place. Well, 1 Corinthians, and my burden was not to have a series on this. And if we don't move along, it's going to be another series. So let's see where we go, how the Lord leads. But in 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 9, but as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath what? Prepared. There's that word again. The things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Do you know what I think is interesting? You don't even have to do a word search in your Bible for prepared. Just look for scriptures about heaven. You know what you're going to start finding? It was a prepared place. There's that word prepared again. It is prepared that He's, and eye hath not seen nor ear heard. Now, I know there have been books written and people have had dreams and visions and talk about this is what heaven's going to be. And we've got to be a little careful, all right? Because, see, normally we are basing those things based on what our understanding is. Heaven is going to be so much more than what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard. So take the best places and the best moments you have ever had in life and multiply it by, you know, how much? Infinity. Multiply it by infinity. Multiply it out. Heaven's going to be better. All right. So do we want to go? I mean, say, yeah, but this... Wait. You can go to Taco Bell if you want. You can go to Taco Bell if you want. But you eat off the value menu if you want to. But I'll tell you, when it comes to things of God, there's something better. I mean, you can have a T-bone steak that's cooked medium rare. Now, you may that not like that. Cook it however is good for you. But you can, I mean, are you going to really choose a little burrito or a McDouble that'll about make you sick when you eat it? Or you want a nice Caesar salad with some good broccoli, children, and some in a good T-bone steak? Or maybe some of you say, oh no, it's the carbs, I just need some good rolls. Okay, you could add those wonderful breads, and the Germans might like it crusty, and some of you might want it soft, but however you want it, it's all there. It's laid out. Do you realize that we've got a choice this morning? All we know is this life. That's all we know. So we say, but I wanted to do this in life, and I wanted that in life, and I'm not ready to die yet. I mean, I want to go to heaven when it's time. But, oh, wait, when we start realizing heaven's a real place, you're going to have a lot of wonderful things to do up in heaven, you children and young people. Just get ready now. Prepare your heart, because it's going to be a beautiful place. Well, over in 2 Peter chapter 2, we won't turn and read it. Paul was talking about seeing, or Peter rather, he talked about seeing a new heaven and a new earth. Now, this earth and this aerial heavens is going to pass away. So why did he talk about heaven being a new heaven and a new earth? Do you know earth means, by definition, a place of abode? It is a place to live. And he said a new heaven too. It's like, interesting. I wonder if there'll be stars up there. I don't know what it's going to be like. But have you ever gazed out on the universe and it's just like, wow, this is just magnificent. Do you realize, can you imagine what the heavens up in heaven are going to look like? We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, a new place of abode. And I'll go back to when I was a child. I've shared it, but I used to wonder if we are just going to be these spirits, like these ghosts floating around, you know, these spirits. And do you realize that we're going to have a body? We're going to have a glorified body. There's going to be a resurrection that's going to take place. And those that have been serving the Lord and living righteously, they're going to have a resurrection unto eternal life. And that's why in the 15th chapter of Corinthians, it talks about that this mortal must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. We have to go through the dying process to get to that place. But thank the Lord, one day we're going to actually have bodies. Jesus had a glorified body, didn't he? He walked through the door too. But do you realize what else he did? He ate fish. I'm thankful that you're not going to be limited. You won't have allergies up there either. But do you realize that he ate? I don't know if we're going to be eaten up in heaven. I know we sure enjoy it down here. So I don't know what all is going to happen up there. But I know even with his glorified body, Jesus ate. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. It's going to be a wonderful place. And the point is that there's a new heaven, new earth. It's a place of abode. We're not just going to be floating around up there. We're going to know one another. We're going to know even as also we are known. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Isn't that wonderful? We'll go down the streets and we'll see Brother Verlin. Praise God, and we can worship the Lord together. There'll be some rejoicing going on up there. You say, well, you can only shout and rejoice for so long. Oh, no, heaven has lots to do up there because there's a new heaven and there's a new earth. Well, the beauty and the joys of heaven is going to far surpass anything we know of. Saints, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And if you people look at young people sometimes and say they had an untimely death, if they were ready to meet God, they got to go to paradise. And you know what paradise is? Now, yes, we may be spirits up in paradise because that's before the resurrection of a glorified body. But in paradise, paradise by definition is a park. P-A-R-K, a park. You go to the park to relax. You go to the park to enjoy things. You go to the park to have family reunions. Do you know that there's a park that God has prepared? Jesus told the thief on the cross, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Let's go to the park together. Let's go and enjoy this beautiful prepared place. Oh, what a family reunion it's going to be when we get up there. The best is yet to come. Now, in the book of Revelation, I need to be winding down now, and we're... Lord, help us know what to do this morning. Do we stop? Do we go on and try to close down in 5 minutes or just have a part two or three? Revelation 21, you can read through it on your own time, all right? But in the book of Revelation, in the chapters 21 and 22, it gives us some of the beauty and what's going to be happening up in heaven. He again saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to say, when it talks about New Jerusalem, interestingly enough, someone called or texted about questioning about this last night. New Jerusalem is talking about the church of God. However, it is also referencing heaven. The New Jerusalem, it's a place of abode. Jerusalem is the mother of us all. We're not children of the bondswoman. We're children of the free. You can read it in the book of Galatians, chapter 4 and 5. But here, New Jerusalem, he has a vision of the church, but it is also fulfilled in the creation, God's creation of heaven. When we go to heaven, he said here he saw New Jerusalem like a bride coming down, prepared, adorned for her husband. Now, this is what some of what heaven's going to be. Verse 4 says God would wipe away all tear from their eyes. There'd be no more death. There'd be no sorrow, no crying, no pain. Do you realize that up in heaven, anything that has caused you pain and heartache in this world, it's not going to be up in heaven? That's part of what the glories of heaven. There's no more burdens to bear. There's no more suffering the consequences of sin. There's no more temptation. There's no more, "I'm so burdened for this soul and I can't just take and sleep away and it hasn't." Do you realize that up in heaven, there's no sorrow. There's no pain. There's no parting. There's no more death. No wonder that Paul told them, he said, "We don't weep as those that have no hope." When saints die, it's really like, praise God. That's what I want. I want to get there one day, but I want to prepare and I want to occupy and I want to have those beginnings, those seeds that can grow and bring forth fruit because I want to take someone else with me if I can. But when it comes our time, it's what a wonderful place it's going to be. Well, he goes on to talk about there's no need of the sun there in heaven. You just read on through this passage and in verse 22, in chapter 22, there's no need of the sun because the Lamb is there. There's going to be light. The scripture talks about streets of gold. And you know, some say, "Oh, that's not really." But what he's talking about is it's something, that city, that celestial city is shimmering. It's with light. It's just bright. It's so beautiful. And you know what gold is? It has value. And so this is symbolic speak. He's saying heaven is, this is one of the most valuable things people at the time knew. And so he used the word gold. There's going to be, heaven is going to be made, it's a valuable things, things that are beautiful, things that are wonderful. And so he had to put it into terminology that we can understand. Well, there's another beautiful place here in the 25th verse. He said, the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Why do you shut the gate? For protection. You lock the cars and lock the doors on your house and close. And sometimes we shut the gate. You know the standards that sometimes we hold, it's just shutting the gate. It's not trying to be restrictive, it's keeping the enemy out. Up in heaven, there's no enemy. Up in heaven, it's daylight. There's no night. There's no fear. One of the reasons why people that teach that the devil was up in heaven and a fallen angel, if it happened once, it could happen again. So maybe we'll get up in heaven. Maybe there'll be another insurrection of another rebellious angel up there, and we'll just be in another battle. No. No. Up there, it's peace and tranquility, and the gates won't be shut because we're all free up there. You want to go this morning? I want to go. Well, verse 27, it said, there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defiles, whatever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's who's going to be there. So if your name's not in the Lamb's book of life, get ready. Sign your name, RSVP, let the Lord know, Lord, I want to go, whatever it takes, and I'm going to rearrange my schedule here in this life to be sure that I'm free and I'm ready for when you call me. Well, what are we going to do up there? I know we brought a little bit out, but it's a real place with real people, glorified bodies, a paradise, a place of happiness. The scripture says, and it's in verse 22, in verse 3 it says, his servant shall serve him. Now some people say, well, if I'm just sitting around, I get kind of bored because I need to be active. Guess what? You may serve him as parents and serve as teachers in this life and serve as this and this occupation. There's going to be, if you want to look at it this way, in a sense, there might be work to do up there. But it's not going to be that demanding, that stressful. It's going to be something that brings pleasure and joy to serve the Lord. The scripture says that we will reign with him forever and ever. That means there's going to be maybe some responsibilities. Do you know most of us enjoy life more when we've got responsibilities? It's the lazy people that are more unhappy. If you're not happy this morning, check in. Have you been lazy? Because lazy people aren't happy. There's no fulfillment. You waste your time and you'd be like, well, I just wish I could be happier. Get a job. Clean the house. Do something and get busy. And do you realize it brings fulfillment and satisfaction? Because you know up in heaven there's going to be satisfaction. That's the point. There's going to be fulfillment because there's things to do. Whether we are serving or whether we are reigning, whether we are worshiping, we're going to be forever in the presence of God. You know what else? We're going to be in the presence of one another. And you know what? What's wonderful about heaven? If there are people that are saved right now and you're like, man, they get on my nerves. And I know there's people like that. You may think, Brother Michael, sit down now. Well, guess what? I'm not going to yet. However, when we get to heaven, we're all going to be there. They have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But those things that might kind of grate you right now, that won't be up in heaven. I don't know what all the Lord's going to do or how he's going to handle that one. My dad asked Brother Clifford Wilson one time, I believe it was Brother Clifford, there was a sister that was, she was kind of difficult. He said, Brother Clifford, and I don't think he mentioned her name to Brother Clifford. I think I knew what he was talking about. But it's like, Lord, what do you think the Lord, when we step into heaven, there's going to be something that's going to happen. He said, well, that's what the Lord's trying to do right now in our life. He's trying to get the rough edges off, folks. He's trying to prepare us for that prepared place. Well, the scripture says also in Revelation 22 that there'd be a tree of life by the river. Do you know what's beautiful about that? Do you know what's beautiful about the tree of life is that was symbolic of in the Garden of Eden? And it said there'll be no more curse there. It's talking about there'll be no more death. And there'd be healing for all the nations. There's no sickness up in heaven. There's no more heart problems, Sister May. There's no more difficulty climbing stairs. There's no more struggles. There's no more pain. Your shoulder won't hurt. You can move and do because of God's going to do something wonderful up there. So I know we may be going through some battles right now, but saints, we've got something wonderful to look forward to. It's a prepared place. Enjoying the new creation reunion. There's no time up there. And you know heaven's a place of rest and peace. You say work and serving, that doesn't all sound real restful. No, it is a place that you can have the best of everything. God has created this place that our words, we don't know. You know, Paul got a vision of it, but he couldn't even speak of it. He couldn't even speak of what he saw because it's so much better than what we have. And do you know we're going to be able to see Jesus face to face? We're going to be able to see him face to face. And do you know, I believe that we'll be doing what we read about in another passage of Revelation. It said they would be casting their crowns down before the throne. It's not because, Lord, I was so good I got here. It's, Lord, thank you by your blood. Thank you for your mercy. It wasn't anything I did, but Lord, thank you for letting me be a part. Lord, thank you for inviting me and making the way that I could come to this wonderful place and inherit eternal life. We know this morning that if our earthly tabernacle, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This body's going to get sick. This body's going to start falling apart. This body's going to go through suffering emotionally and physically in other ways. But you know, God has a prepared place for us up in heaven. And it's real. And he's waiting. And that's why at death, we have to go through that process. And I know that's an unknown. And we want to die, but we don't want to die. You know, how do you phrase that? We want to go to heaven, but we don't want to die. You know, there's a process it's going to take to get there. And it's not always real pleasant, but you know, the Lord will be with us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So there's a song that we passed out. What a wonderful first day in heaven. It's going to be a wonderful day when we get to heaven. Saints, let's be ready. Let's know that God has in store something so much grander waiting for us, that it's not just a figment of the imagination. It is a prepared place, and I want to go. So Lord bless you and encourage you. Maybe we could stand as we conclude with this song.